Hey, let's get right into the word this morning. We'll be in John. Turn in your Bibles to John 16 and stand with me. We'll read our text this morning. Bear with my voice. I'll do my best. just work with what we have this morning. It's a very appropriate song based on the message this morning. The title is The Word is Enough. The Word is Enough. So thank you for that, boys. Let's begin reading in verse number, let's see. I just love this passage. Let's start in verse number 7. Our text is 12 through 15, but we'll begin in verse 7. Jesus said to his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now, the reason why the disciples are needing Jesus to tell them the truth is because what they believed, what they had embraced, wasn't true. By the way, that happens to us.
Yes.
Where we need God to set us right.
Amen.
Because sometimes what we have embraced isn't true. How do we know what's right? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's continue reading. Verse number 7, "I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "it is expedient or beneficial for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost," that's who the Comforter is, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," talking about the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin." That word reprove means convict. It means convince. It means he will speak to your heart. That's what it means. "He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." By the way, not just the devil is judged, but also anybody who rejects Jesus will be at the judgment. Do you know who convinces you of that? The Holy Spirit. That's his job. He works in us. Now our text, verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me." I love that phrase. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. "For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." So Jesus here is teaching his disciples about the work of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the Comforter, the work of the Spirit of God, and he says exactly how the Spirit works. Now, I love it because it's two sides of the same coin. He says this is how he works, and then on the other side of that coin, this is how he doesn't work. So we're going to study both this morning, and I really believe God has something special for us. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We need to hear from you. Help us to be open to receive your word. It could be that there are some this morning who are confused or have been, not maybe perpetually confused, but have been confused about how the Holy Spirit works. And Lord, it's not our opinion that matters. It's not the opinion of religiosity that matters, God. It's what does your word say? Your opinion matters. Teach us your word this morning. Guide us in your path. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And I think that we would all agree that there is a lot of confusion about how the Holy Spirit works in our world today. There are often people today, just like in Bible times, who desired and expected that if they're going to embrace something as true, then they're going to need a sign. There are people today who say, "God, show me your way. Give me a sign," they'll say. Well, that's not a new thing to expect from God. By the way, it's not a new thing to demand from God. It's something that points all the way back to Bible times Even in the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus is ministering to the Jews, there's a group of Jews called the Pharisees who came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees specifically, who came and said, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." That's in Matthew 12. They come to Jesus, and first of all, we know that their motives are not pure. Why? Because they said, "Master." The scribes and the Pharisees did not see Jesus as a rabbinical master. They didn't see him as a great teacher, which is what the word master means. It means great teacher, rabbi. But they didn't see him that way. So their words, "Master," it's dripping with sarcasm. And then they said, "We desire a sign from you." Now, it's as though not only did they expect that Jesus wasn't going to show them a sign, but what they hoped through this is to bring evidence and confidence that Jesus, what in their opinion, wasn't the Messiah, and this would bring a kind of accusation against him. So that was what they demanded of Jesus, that he would show them a sign. Jesus harshly pointed out the character of somebody who demands a sign. Let me say that again. Jesus responds to them harshly by explaining the attitude, the character of somebody who demands God to give them a sign. And here's what he said. He answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous," that word evil and adulterous means apostate, "generation seeks after a sign." So they wanted something more than what they already had. Chew on that for a second. What they had already been delivered. They said, "Give us a sign." Do you know what that means? What they had already been given wasn't enough. We need a sign. And then when we get a sign, then we'll believe. You know what Jesus said? Verse 39 of that passage. No sign shall be given to it. But the sign of the prophet Jonah, he's speaking of. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The people said, "We need something more." And here's what Jesus said, "You already have everything you need. Just go to the story of Jonah and that's all you need." They're already equipped with what they need, although they said, "We need something more." Well, that's what happens in our world today. And Satan is still grabbing up people and putting in them this kind of expectation of what they will demand so that before they'll believe in Jesus. So in other words, people are saying today, "Well, I can't just embrace the gospel. I need something more. I can't just embrace what I'm hearing or what has been delivered. I need something emotional. I need something that moves me. I need something that transcends reality." That's what a sign would do. And that's what they expect. And so as though people expect in Jesus' time a sign, and we hear of people, and perhaps some here this morning, who demand or expect that God would reveal the truthfulness of what they're hearing through some sign, what we need to understand is truly how the Holy Spirit works and not what we expect or think of how He works. Jesus here will teach His disciples about the work of the Spirit and how He will work in them, and how He will work through them. And He'll also teach them how the Holy Spirit doesn't work, so that they can understand what they need to embrace, and how they can know that what they need to embrace as true, and how they can know with confidence, without the need of a sign, that what they're embracing is in fact true. Amen. That's what He's teaching here. He starts off by saying in verse 12, this is how the Spirit of God works. He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear it now." Let's talk about that for a minute. To say you cannot bear it now is to say that the light needs to be shined. In other words, you're in darkness and you won't understand until the light is shined. We live in a world that is blinded. Amen. And what we need is not some intellect to explain things to us good enough. Well, you know, if it's explained well enough, the issue is not an intellectual issue. What we need is God to reveal to us the truth. What we need is God to remove the blindness. And so what Jesus says, you're in a position now where there's blindness. You can't see it yet. But there is a day that's coming. Jesus is predicting a day that's coming when that blindness will be removed. Well, how does that work? He goes on and he says in verse 13, howbeit when he, this is the day when the blindness will be removed and the light will be shined. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, friends, there's not more than one Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Comforter. It's the same person. And so Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will guide you into the truth. Now, two times in that verse, Jesus said the word truth. And in this world, that's what we need to get to the bottom of. Not the opinion of men. You know, Pastor, I've been on a search trying to find the right religion. Well, you're going at it wrong. Because you're not. What we're not looking for is the right religion or denomination. We're looking for the truth. And the truth is what's foundation. The truth is what doctrine is built on top of. So you can know that you're on the right path, not because you're in the right denomination. You can know you're on the right path because you have the truth. And we build what we believe based on what is true. Jesus said the Spirit of truth is going to come. And he's going to guide you into the truth. Now let's talk about that truth. In chapter 17, don't turn there, but in chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said that the truth is the Word of God. Amen. Thy Word is truth. We also know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So we know that God works through the Word. We know that the truth is His Word. And so when Jesus says here to His disciples, there's two things working. Number one, who are the ones who are going to pen? Oh man, this is so awesome. Who are the ones who are going to have the pen in their hand? And they're going to pen the Word of God that you and I are studying right now? It's the apostles that Jesus is right here speaking to. Now consider that application, that Jesus is telling the disciples, a day is going to come when the Holy Spirit is going to move you, and through you, I'm going to deliver my truth to God's people. So the Spirit of God is going to work, and He's going to guide, and He's going to move you into the truth. So a direct application to the apostles. But did you know that the Holy Spirit still works through the truth just that same way in our life today? So that God works in us, guiding us into the truth. And so we hear a message and it makes sense to us. And we say, woo, that was a good one, Pastor. You know, and I like those when people say that. People walk by and they're like, maybe next time, Pastor. You know? Yeah, gee, thanks. You know? No, I understand it happens sometimes. But you know, it doesn't really matter if it's good or bad. Here's what matters. Are we saying the Word? Are we teaching the Bible? Because that's the truth. The truth then is declared, and what happens is the Holy Spirit, He starts working in us, and He's guiding us to the truth, declaring in us, not on the outside, but on the inside. And He said, this is true. He's guiding us. He's affirming it. By the way, affirm isn't even the right word. It's confirm. That's what the word reprove means. It means convict. It means confirm. It means you don't wonder about it. You know it's true. And the Holy Spirit says, this is true, and you know it, don't you? Amen. And that's what He does. He works in us. The job of the Holy Spirit is to take the Word of God and to apply it to our hearts and confirm it in us, to speak to us and to guide us so that we would know that we're hearing from God. That's what His job is. You know, I love what Paul said in Romans. He starts off his book by saying this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why? Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So the power of God is not Paul and his amazing delivery of the message. No, no, no. The power is in the message. The power is in the gospel. Why? Because all we need to do is deliver the message with clarity. God's people hears the message, and then God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He guides you. He speaks to your heart and He says, this is true. He guides you into the truth. You know, that's the only thing the Holy Spirit says. You can study it out. The Holy Spirit only says this. This is true. Did you know He's a still small voice? Any whispers to you? So that you're hearing a message and the Holy Spirit comes beside you and He says, this is true.
Amen.
That's what He says.
Yep.
Now, I said it right then, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. So you don't need a grand display.
Right.
You don't need an emotional movement. Listen to this. You don't need an emotional movement.
Amen.
Ooh, this moves me. But hang on. We don't need something to move us.
Amen.
All we need is the Word. That's all. Why? Because when we receive the truth, the Spirit of God guides us into the truth. So we're over here, by the way, not embracing the truth in our nature. We're not godly on our own. We don't have it without Him. So we show up, the Word of God is delivered, and the Spirit of God whispers, this is true, and you need this. And he's telling you it's true. And you need to move from where you are. And you need to come over here. And you need to be on God's side. Who is on the Lord's side? You know, like that song sings? We need to be on His side. But who guides us here? The Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
And He uses the truth and He speaks in a still small voice. We don't need an emotional movement.
Right.
We don't need a band to be struck up and to make us feel moved. We don't need that. We need the Word. God works through His Word. I love music. Great job, boys, on the song. And God uses music. Let's acknowledge that. He uses it. But what guides you to the truth? It's not the music. It's the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit use the music? Hang on. The Spirit of God works through the Word. The Word of God. That's what it says. He will guide you into the what? The truth. The truth. Yes. So that's who He is. That's what He does. But then Jesus tells us what the Spirit of God doesn't do. Well, what does He say next? Verse 13, look what He says. For He shall not speak of Himself. So Jesus then declares that the Spirit of God takes the information of the Word of God that has been delivered to us. The Spirit of God takes the information and guides us to understand it as true.
All right.
He speaks to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't have His own message.
That's right.
He takes the Word of God and He confirms it in us.
Amen.
That's all He does.
Right.
That's what Jesus said. He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Look at verse 14. It summarizes really verse 14 and 15, just that first phrase. He shall glorify Me.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit confirms the Word of the Father. He does not have His own message. And Jesus taught His disciples that the job of the Spirit is to guide them into the message or to the truth, but not to have His own message. Consider that Jesus taught only what He heard from His Father. Have you heard that before? In John chapter 7, listen to what it says. If you want to turn there, you can. Keep your finger here if you would. In John 7, verse 16, it says this. John 7:16 says this. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not Mine, but His that sent Me. So just as though we learned the Spirit of God takes the message and applies it to the hearts of men, Jesus Himself said, My doctrine is the message of the Father. I take what's been given to Me and I deliver it to you. He shall glorify Me means that the Spirit does not glorify Himself. He brings glory to Jesus. People need to hear this message today. Why? Because people don't understand, number one, what Jesus plainly explains here, what the Holy Spirit's job is, and in contrast to that, what His job isn't. That the Holy Spirit guides man into the truth, applying the Word of God to us, and His job isn't to move us emotionally to some action, but just to apply the truth to us, to convict our heart.
Amen.
that the message is true. We need this today. Why? Because I visited a man in the hospital years ago. And in that hospital, I came to his room, and it was kind of cracked open like this. And I made hospital visits, part of my position there at the church. And as, you know, the associate, I knocked on the door, and he said, "Come on in." And I came in, and I said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from..." You know, I said my name and what church I'm from. I was just wondering if I could pray with you. He said, "Absolutely, come on in. I'd love to pray with you." And we visited for a little time, and I said, "I'd like to pray with you, but let me ask you a question. Can you tell me about your salvation testimony? Do you know the Lord is your Savior?" And he says, "Oh, absolutely, I know I'm saved." I said, "Hey, praise the Lord, tell me about your salvation." And he begins to tell me a story about how he's on the highway. And he's driving down the road, and he's just sort of doing his own thing. And in that day, he was running from God, not even interested in the things of God at all. On that highway, and suddenly, he was in a horrible accident. I mean, a dreadful accident. In the aftermath of this accident, the car was mangled, but yet he was unscathed, trapped in the car, but unharmed. And in the process of being trapped in the car, he saw a light, he said. And then through that light, finally he was saved from that car accident. And at the end of that story, I was waiting for I started going to church, and then I asked the Lord to save me. I was waiting for that, but he never said it. He said, "Whenever God saved me in that accident, then I knew I was saved." That's what he said to me. And so what we have today in the world are people who are looking for something to confirm the truth in them. And what they're looking for is not the message of the truth, but a sign. If I can see a sign, then I'll know it's true. There was a man who's an assistant pastor in Nebraska now. His name's Brother Tim Campbell, and he preached from this pulpit, you might remember, several months ago. And Brother Tim, I remember when we originally had met all those 10 years before we finally left there, neighbor to the church, he said, "Now, Pastor, I want to be your friend, but I'll never be attending church there." He's an assistant pastor now. So I think God had a different plan, right? Before he had gotten saved, we had been acquainted as friends for about 4 years. Almost 4 years. He messages me again, and we had messaged each other quite often. And he says, "Pastor, would you be willing to do Bible studies with me again?" I mean, let me check my schedule. No, I didn't say that. I said, "Yeah, let's go. When do you want to meet? How about Tuesday at 3? That's what I said. He comes into the office Tuesday, 3 o'clock, and we're sitting there and we're visiting, and he starts telling me a story. This is before Brother Tim was saved. And he starts telling me a story about he was in his backyard. And he didn't believe in God. In fact, he was mad at God. He had a belief in God, but his belief was, "I'm mad at God because of what he let happen in my life. My mom passed away, and it was before her time. I'm pretty upset about it." He's sitting in his backyard. It's a beautiful evening, and he's talking to his mom. He's having a conversation with his mom, who's been passed away already. And suddenly, in the middle of his conversation, a gust of wind poured through his backyard and caused his wind chimes to just jangle without just like crazily jangle. And immediately he thought, "Was that my mom?" And it stirred him so much, he said, "I got to ask Pastor about this." He tells me the story, and he gets to the end of it, and he says to me, "Pastor, was that my mom?" And I said, "Brother Tim, it's obvious that God is using this in your life. Let me share from you something out of the Bible."
Amen.
And you know what Brother Tim was looking for? He was looking for a sign. And there's a lot of people in the world who are looking for a sign. But do you know what caused Brother Tim to finally say, "I need to be saved"? It wasn't a sign. It was the gospel message and the Spirit of God convicting his soul to say, "This is true, and you need this." Brother Tim came to the Lord in salvation because of what God was doing in him. We, this morning, we might be to the place where God has been speaking to us. God has been working in your soul. And perhaps along the way, I'm going to give a couple of categories here. Perhaps along the way, you've grown up in a religion and you've had an exposure to a form of doctrine. And along the way, you have had this religious system that you have embraced. And you're trying to plod away in this religious system, thinking and hoping that one day God will look at your religion and He'll say, come on into heaven. But the problem is religion doesn't give us relationship with God. Amen. Outward exercise doesn't transform our heart. And so what happens is perhaps we've embraced something that hasn't given us salvation, but has just given us outward religion. And then we come to a church like this. And the gospel message is delivered. And in the midst of the message, you start to hear a voice. But it's in your soul. And that voice is saying, this is true. And you need this. And all along the way, what you've thought was true about your salvation, suddenly, in one instance, you're convinced from within that you're not really saved. But do you know who didn't do it? The intellect of the pastor. It was just one thing. Was it a sign, pastor? No, it wasn't a sign. Or as Jesus says, let me tell you what your sign is. A message that's already been delivered. The message of the gospel. And then the Spirit of God guides you to the truth. So that perhaps this morning, you know you need to be saved, even though you've always thought you were. But how do you know, pastor? Because the Spirit of God works in us. There was a man I talked about last week, Brother Kenny. He grew up Lutheran all his life. And while sitting in the Bible studies, God began to speak to his heart. And it wasn't because I told him, but because he knew that he needed to be saved. I'm going to finish with this. Go to Luke chapter 16 with me. Lose your place in John. Luke chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 16. I told you we were going to do a little bit of studying this morning. It's so important that we get this. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse number 27. This is the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, speaking to Abraham, by the way, the rich man is in hell. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man looks over to Lazarus and he says these words, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. The rich man in hell lifted his eyes in torment, and he requested that Lazarus be sent back to earth to tell his five brothers so they won't have to go to that awful place too. Abraham in verse 29 saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What is Moses? It's the word of God. What is the prophets? It's the word of God. Do you know what Abraham said? Abraham said, no, the word of God is enough. Amen. Let them hear the word of God. Amen. Verse 30, it says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. If somebody rises from the dead, then they'll believe. Send a sign. If you send a sign, then they'll believe. How does he respond? Verse 31, he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. If you won't receive the word of God, if you can't be moved by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, then it doesn't matter the sign that you will see. We have the word. And that's enough. This morning, it might be that you have been waiting for a sign. Frankly, Now, you might not articulate it that way, but you've been waiting for some movement beyond what you already know in your soul to be true. And if you're lost this morning, and you're convinced that you're lost, it's not man who convinces that. It's the Spirit of God who pricks your soul. And He says, this is true and you need this. And if He's spoken to you, now I'm just about done, but you have to get this. This is the most important part of this entire message. If He has already spoken to your heart, if He has already told you you need to be saved, you will not get any other sign. If you're waiting for something more, you're not going to get it. Because the sign that you have received is the message of the Word. And He spoke to your heart. He confirmed it in you. And that's enough. So what do we do? Well, honestly, it's not easy. It is easy, but it's not easy. It's easy because all you have to do is stop fighting God. It's not easy because we have a hard time not fighting against the Lord. You know? It's like in Romans chapter 10, whenever Paul talks about, you know, those that come to Him shall not be ashamed. It's hard to come to the Lord sometimes because of various things that hinder us. This morning it might be that He's speaking to your heart. Let me encourage you to turn your heart to Him. There's a couple of lessons today. The first lesson is what the Spirit, who the Spirit is, what His job is, and what it isn't. He confirms the Word in us. He doesn't have any other ministry. He speaks to us from the Word. He's the Comforter who works in our heart. That's His job. Right. And if He's done that to you, then the message then is this. Come to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank You for the grace of the message of the gospel, that it might be that there are some here this morning who acknowledge they've heard, they know in their heart they need to be saved. Would You, Lord, do a couple of things? Number one, would You bring that conviction again? And perhaps there are some who are still confused or still wondering or struggling. I just pray that You'd keep working in them. But maybe there are some who know, in their soul they know, that they haven't turned their heart to You in salvation. And You've convicted them of that. And yet now they're waiting for something else, maybe, when nothing else will happen, because the Word is enough. Would You give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late? And God will give You glory. We thank You for the message of the gospel. We thank You for how You work in us. Don't give up on us, Lord, please. I pray that You'd continue to bring that conviction. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Every head's bowed.